You are in session number four. My name is Turin. This is best practices of executive leadership teams with our presenter, Mr. Bill Harrington. And this workshop is sponsored by Zeal Creative.
Hello, everybody. Well, how many of you in here are pastors of some sort? Only a handful of you. So that means the rest of you are all on the leadership team of some sort? Okay. So let's begin with what that looks like. In your handouts, you have some of the key things that I'm going to be pointing out. We'll start with some scriptures. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So for many of you, you're the advisors. The pastor has a call, has a vision, has a mission at heart, but he's seeking wisdom from you. He's seeking your prayers. He's seeking your advice. He's seeking the things that you may have seen in your past, and he's looking for that advice so that he can make the very best decisions and hopefully not have to backtrack in anything he does. It seems as though this should be common sense, but God knows mankind better than we'd like to think sometimes. And so he has a few more proverbs for us today. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." One more. Proverbs 9:9a says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser." Whether you're the senior pastor or someone on the leadership team, the group is God's design for proper leadership. Even King Solomon, who wrote many of our scriptural proverbs, the wisest man on earth at the time, still taught that a fool moves forward without the wise counsel of others. A wise person knows that he doesn't know everything and is willing to hear what others may believe to be the best way to go. To start, we're going to focus on the wise part of the counsel in these scriptures. Does it make any difference who serves on your executive leadership team? You may be thinking, well, yeah. You need to be a mature Christian, strong in your faith and devoted to God's work. Or they need to be a devoted member of the church for a specified period of time, or they need to meet the guidelines given in the scriptures for the position of a deacon. I'll tell you, these all have their place, but the church has suffered many years because we've been too gracious. Some of you saw me putting some things out. We're going to play a little game, and this is an illustration. How many of you like illustrations? How many of you have never seen an illustration in a church? Raise your hand. Some of the first people at my church, some of the people at my church, the first time they were there, saw me walking out into the audience on a balance beam and still remember that. How many of you can say that somebody remembers your sermon 2 years later? Yeah, they don't remember what I said, but they remember what I did. Yeah, all right. Now, for our church council, our executive leadership team in church, what do? Well, everybody votes for them, right? So I want you to all look around the room. How many do we need? We need three trustees, right? Pick. This is what we do in church, right? Popular vote. None of you are voting. This is what makes really long business meetings. Hey, we got a hand over here. He was scratching his head. Everybody who's voting for him, raise your hand. Anybody voting against him, raise your hand. Look at that, you got elected. Come on. First spot right there. We need two more. Hands. All right, no hands. Somebody nominate your friend. That's what happens, right? Okay, we got a friend over here. Gray jacket, blue hoodie. Did you know you had all the friends that just pointed at you? Everybody was voting for him, raise your hand. Anybody voting against him, raise your hand. Come on up. All right, we got another nominee. Everybody who votes for him, raise your hand. All right, looks like you're voted in. Come on up. He's on your hand. You can be right here. Blue tape means you cannot move your feet. Put these on your hand. Gloves mean you cannot use your hands on the blue tape. All right. Now, hopefully, by the end of this session, you're learning something right now. Okay? Come on up. You're going to stand right here. Come on up. You're going to stand right here.
Does it pass the elections?
You're going to have those? I need one more happy person. You look like a happy person. Come on. You're going to stand right here on this blue tape. You're going to put these on your hands. Remember, if you got gloves on, you cannot use your hands. If you're standing on blue tape, you cannot move your feet. There's one for you. There's one for you. Now here's the object. See the little can over there? You need to get that ball into that can. And don't miss the can, because if you miss the can, then you fail the whole team. Got the pressure? You got teammates. Work with your teammates. There's a can over on the other side of your teammate right there. That ball needs to go in there. Remember, if you're standing on blue tape, you cannot move your feet. If you've got gloves on, you cannot use your hands. Ready?
Can I use my arms?
One, two, three, go.
Oh, you move the can. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
How'd
you get it over there?
You do it.
Here's the thing that makes the difference. You guys can all have a seat. Thank you for your help. Here's the thing that makes the difference. We elect people to come in and serve on our council, and a lot of times we never tell them what they're doing when they get elected into that position.
Amen.
We never tell them how they need to do what they need to do.
Amen.
And many times I've seen where I've come in, I've been on a few councils and pastored in a few different churches, and I've seen where I've sat with council members who have been on the council for a number of years, and they still don't know what the Constitution and bylaws look like.
Amen.
The point of this whole demonstration was this group didn't have foreknowledge of what was happening, but the majority of this group knew what was happening, they were prepared for what was coming, and they already had time to think out what was going to happen. If we prepare the people, if we vet the people, if you don't know what that means, if we meet with them in advance of them taking that position, and we talk to them about this is what the job requires, this is what we're going to be doing in all those meetings, this is what your responsibility is, and this is how the church succeeds if we do our job well. If we meet with them first and we talk about those things first, then if they're like, oh, I can't do any of that, then you know that that's not the right person for the team. But if you just vote them in, you got 3 years of having them go, I don't know, Pastor, I don't think we should do that. Or if they're like, we really need to nip this in the bud right now. You need to go over there and you need to throw them out of the church and you need to tell them come back. If you got somebody like that on the council, you got them for 3 years. Talk to the people first. The executive leadership team of an organization should not have participation prize positions. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I played Little League when I was little. We all got to play Little League, but only the best people as we moved up got to play, and so I didn't get to play. I wasn't good at Little League. But when my kids started playing Little League, there was this whole participation thing. Everybody had to participate, and I remember going, wow, they're really never going to win a game. The executive leadership team is important to the organization, and it should not be a participation prize position. But when the only qualifications are healthy faith and popular vote, the church momentum will suffer more times than not. You may think that's not the way it's been for years and churches have been just fine, but I tell you, things could have been much better. We argue often that church shouldn't be compared to the world, but then we look at which group is reaching the most people, and we should start to realize that we have some things to learn about getting people's attention. Really, what I want to point out is that most organizations are focused on achieving a goal, making sure that those who are on their executive leadership team are qualified to do the task. It seems to me that it's mostly organized religion that sees fit to give everyone in the membership a chance to serve in this major decision-making body. Is Tom really cut out to make the financially wise decisions for the organization? We don't know. We don't know if he's doing good with his finances. We never asked. We just assumed he's got a house, he's got a car, he's got a family, his daughter's going to college. But we never really looked to see what kind of decision making he does with finances. He just got voted in, and now he's ours for 3 years. Is Jan really able to give the time needed to be thorough in researching the materials before making the decision? Let me make this one easy for you. It doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female. If they don't have time, what are they doing? You give them all this information, we're gonna make these decisions. It sits on their kitchen counter, and they grab it on their way out the door, and they come in, and they sit down, and they go, yeah, I vote yes. What are you voting yes on? I have no idea. But I vote yes. We do this. Do they really have the time to make that commitment to the body? Is George really compassionate enough to disciple church members under the title of church council members? You know, when you hold that title of a church council member or an executive team leader, people look at you differently. And if you're biting their head off, that sets a message. It's the same thing for the reverse side. If it's a person that's on the team that's not ready for conflict, and I've had some of those. We've had issues in church, and it seems real cut and dry. This is what the scriptures say. This is how we handle it. And then we, okay, anybody got anything to say? Oh, I don't really think we should do that. We should not rock the boat. Well, what about the scriptural guidelines for how we should live? No, we need to do these things. We need to keep the scriptures as right and wrong. It's part of the job. These are some basic things, and even these are overlooked in many church settings, leading to financial struggles in the church, rasticisms that need to be reversed, hurt members flooding out the back door, and issues that seem to never get addressed. The executive leadership team is responsible for the health and well-being of the organization, and when it fails to take action or takes inappropriate actions, the whole organization suffers the effect. Let me ask you, a doctor. So, I heard on the way here today, somebody in the back of the van as we were coming this morning said, what's the difference between a doctor that got an A and a doctor that got a C? Mm-hmm. Nothing. They're both doctors, right? Well, that's not the case if they're about to do open heart surgery on me. What about a lawyer? Some of you may have had to hire lawyers in the past. Our church recently had to hire a lawyer to help us with the tax-exempt status of the church because, you know, the government wants their taxes. And so we hired one attorney. They had our paperwork for a month. And they called me up and they said, we can't help you. And I said, I got 5 days left before I have to turn in this paperwork. They said, sorry, we can't help you. I went to another attorney's office and I handed them the paperwork and I said, I got 4 days before I need to turn this in. Can you help me? They looked at it. They said, yep, we can help you. There was a nonprofit specialist on that team, and there was a property tax specialist on that team. In 4 hours, 4 hours, They had the answers for the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Lawyers. Are you going to go, all right, my brother-in-law over here on my sister's side, he went to law school. He specializes in real estate, but I got in a car accident, so I'm going to have him help me. Probably not. How about a school bus driver? Do you want so-and-so's mom driving your kids to school in the morning? She doesn't really know how to drive the buses yet, but they really need help. Does it make a difference who's qualified to do what you're asking them to do? When it's important, we search for people who are qualified. So does that mean that the health and momentum of the church aren't important? The very best practice for an executive leadership team is to treat the position like it's vital to the church mission. Todd Bolsinger, on the back of your package, you got a paper that looks like this. It shows you the two resources that I used in putting this together. Todd Bolsinger, in his book, Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory, wrote, "Leadership is energizing a community of people toward their own transformation in order to accomplish a shared mission in the face of a changing world. Leadership isn't holding down the fort. It's energizing the community into motion. It's creating momentum and preventing turbulence. A hard part of church leadership today is that sometimes it feels like there's less and less energy in the church, or at least in the people that make up the church." Greg Johnson, in his book, Building Healthy Teams, gives some wisdom. First, he tells us that churches are handicapped, hindered, or restricted when people are designed and gifted by God with special talents, but refuse to serve in the body. Churches that have the capability of so much more are held back because parts of the body won't engage. He reminds us that the biblical mandate for all believers is to find what needs are in the world, determine what you can do about them, and commit a portion of yourself to doing what needs to be done. We're commissioned to be the light of Christ in this world, not hide under a bushel. We're instructed to care for the needs, not fatten ourselves. Pastor Greg doesn't stop with these instructions. He then turns from the servants suffering from a case of apathy to leaders themselves. In this same book, he asks a question and then gives an interesting answer. Why do some leaders have a hard time recruiting and retaining workers, even though they have an amazing vision? He says it's because as leaders, they are unattractive in their attitude, in their demeanor, in their spirit, and in their position. Simply stated, people just don't want to be around them. They're gruff. They're ego-driven. They're scripture-wielding, terrifying ogres. Sadly, I've had times of falling into this category of leadership myself, and it's always been quite destructive. Before we move into how to remedy these things, let's add one more. Todd Bolsinger in Canoeing the Mountains talks about how 2020, the great year of vision, suddenly jumped track and we all ended up in uncharted territory. He uses the adventures of Lewis and Clark to illustrate the need to be flexible and willingly adapt in order to persevere and sometimes even just to survive. Lewis and Clark thought that they would simply paddle upstream and discover the great water route to the Pacific, but to their surprise, they instead discovered the Rocky Mountains, which stood in their way. Any mission that we set out on that hasn't already been surveyed stands a good chance of having some rocky mountains in our path. And that means that we're going to have to adapt to the changing environment in order to overcome the new obstacles. And that means that all of you who are part of the executive leadership or the leadership in your church or potentially will be on the executive leadership team need to keep this in mind. The world is changing around us, and if the church doesn't adapt where it can to those changes, we're going to die with the people that are in them now. We're not going to reach the people that aren't coming to the churches yet because we're stuck inside the churches preaching to ourselves. We need to focus on how to get the people's attention. Get them into church. Get them into the fellowship. Get them into the family. So that then they can start being discipled and their lives can truly change. We know that God does all the changing in the hearts and in the lives. But he tells us to go out and find them. Todd writes to all leaders heading into uncharted territory, if we can adapt an adventure, we can thrive. If we can adapt an adventure, we can thrive. But you must let go. You must learn as you go, and you must keep going no matter what. If there's one thing that's certain, it's this. The adults of the 70s and 80s had different views and ways of doing things than the adults of the 2020s. Let me pause for a minute. I did this in church the other day. How many of you were around in the 1970s? Okay. There is more people in this room right now that were not around then. Okay. So for those of us who were, we remember what church was like. We remember going to church at night. We remember the kids crawling around the sanctuary during the night, Sunday night services. And we remember all those things. And I've had executive leaders say to me, those were the greatest times we could ever have. We should go back to that. But then we try to do a night service, a special night service. And what do we hear? My kid's got to be in bed by 7 o'clock. I can't come out to that. Well, no, just let him run around sanctuary. No, the people that are older in the church, they give me those evil eyes because my kid's not behaving. I'm not bringing them. We need to figure out how to move in uncharted territory if we're going to move in these people's lives. So all uncharted territory should be our constant focus. Okay, so we have 1, underqualified team members, 2, terrifying CEOs, and 3, uncharted territory. Any of these look familiar to your church family? Let's begin. Remember, everything rises and falls on the leadership, so you'll need to be the first one to embrace change. If you want help in serving the church, how many of you don't want any help serving in the church? You got it all under control. Everybody else can just take a back seat. No hands. If you want help in serving the church, make sure that you provide the tools and opportunities for that to take place. 1, without direction, there's chaos. Without direction, there's chaos. Your team needs to know what is expected of them as a team member, not a personal servant. Before you bring a new team member on board, write out the position's job description. Next, go over this document with the candidate before they take the position to verify that the candidate is able and willing to comply with the position's requirements. When the members of a team know what's expected of them, they can advance the ball without constantly waiting on the coach to instruct. When the coach doesn't need to repeat instructions, the coach screams a whole lot less. What am I doing on time?
You have 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
All right. Preparing the players prevents painful communication. The one leading the team needs to prepare the team and things will go a whole lot smoother. 2, without vetting, there's sloppiness. Without vetting, there's sloppiness. As we saw earlier, randomly selected people can leave a lot of things to be desired as the team struggles towards success. Of course, he didn't struggle, he just chucked it. With guidelines on what the position requires, the search for a candidate can be focused on meeting those requirements. But when there's no focus, you're simply tossing darts into the abyss, hoping that one might successfully stick into something. The executive leadership team of any organization is vital to the forward movement of the organization. If the right people are in place, the team will always put its best foot forward. Team members who know their position, are skilled in it, and work together with the other team members will find that the whole team gains greater overall success. This is in contrast to teams that have no requirements and open the door to anyone who's willing to serve. These teams will find great frustration throughout their term. We're close to done. I want to share a really quick story. My daughter, my youngest daughter, plays soccer. She's played soccer all her life. She's always been an A player. When she was in eighth grade, she got asked by the senior or by the varsity coach to come up and train with the varsity players. So she did. She spent her off season training with the varsity players. When it came time for the season to start, she was asked by the varsity coach to play on the varsity team. And everybody told me, no, don't let her move up from middle school to the varsity team. She'll never see any playing time. And so we talked about it, and I said, this is a very likely possibility. And she said, I really want to do it. And so she did. The team didn't know she was from middle school. They thought she was coming from another school. When they found out that she came up from middle school and she was a starter on the team, meaning she played every single game, most of the games, they really didn't like her. And all of a sudden, the ball didn't go around her very much. It was a very self-centered team at that time. This past year was her senior year. At the end of the season, they had a banquet, and they talked about her leadership in that team and where that team came from, where it was when she was in eighth grade to where it was to where it came when she was in 12th grade. They didn't win any games, not a single game, not a single score for 3 years, as they ran the ball themselves down the field trying to make goals, and nobody passed to the other players. As she became a captain on the team, a co-captain on the team, and started coaching the team, and we need to work together if we're going to do this or we're going to be exhausted by the second half. They started passing the ball, and they made their first score. The next year, they made their first win. By her last year, they won half of their games. And the coach said it was all because she continued to coach the team in sharing, in working together, and positioning each other for where they were skilled. It works the same way in our churches. Number three, the last point. Without targets, there's no markers for success. Greg Johnson wrote in his book, every successful team begins at the end by defining its goals or target. Ask yourself, what is the team looking to achieve? Like, are we looking to stay status quo? We like where we are. We just want to stay here forever. Or are we going to move forward? Until you've done it, you don't know what it takes. So you'll need to adjust as you go. Forward movement is uncharted territory. Somebody else might have been there, but you've never been there. You don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know what they did that you didn't see. It's all uncharted territory, and you've got to be willing to adjust as you go. By starting at the end goal, you begin to determine which target you'll be aiming for, and when you hit it, you'll know you've succeeded. You can lead a successful team if you qualify your team members, prepare the team for their part of the process, and lead the team towards the goal. In your packets, you have Greg Johnson put together in his book an outline for how to put together a job description. If you do not have job descriptions for your council members, for your executive leadership team, I strongly encourage you to take some time and write down what you expect of them, and then give it to them and walk them through it so that they know what you expect of them. When they know what you expect of them, then they can do it without you asking them to do it. You also have a list of qualities to aim for in your team candidates. And I wrote to read over it if there's time, which I don't believe there is.
We have 1 minute.
We have 1 minute? Okay.
And it's lunch next. So
a quality team player. A quality team player. Somebody that really should be on your executive leadership team should be accountable and committed to the church as a whole. Not their own agendas, not their own, you know, everybody's going to look at me, I'm going to have the power, I'm going to have the say, and not the person who says, you know, the church has been doing this the wrong way for a long time, and it really should change. So you and I have been talking about this for a while, I'm getting on this team, and we're going to change some things. That's not the kind of person you want to get on that team, because they're going to fight you tooth and nail with everything, and nothing that really needs to be done is going to get done in that meeting. accountable and committed to the church as a whole. They should be mission driven. What's the overall mission of any church? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. That's the overall mission of any church. Tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. We divide it up differently on how we see fit, but that's always the mission. It should always be the mission. Telling people about Jesus Christ. They should be cooperative and encouraging. That means that sometimes they're not going to get their own way, but they're still willing to work with the team, even though they didn't quite see it that way. They'll still work with the team to see the job get done. Humble in spirit, competent in the task at hand, educated in the guidelines. Remember I said some people don't even know what their constitution and bylaws look like, but they're the ones making those decisions. They should be ethically ethical integrity, meaning if something's not getting done, they're going to step in to do it. If something is not getting done right, they're going to address it. If they're not worried about those kinds of things, it's not my problem. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. Not my monkeys, not my circus. You know, you probably heard that one. If they're that kind of person, then they're not going to serve the team very well. And the last one, they should be vetted, because you'll never know who they are until they're already on the team if you don't ask the questions first.
Thank you all for coming. Just want to encourage everyone.